Well, it's been about a year since the FCC voted to regulate the internet as a public utility. Up next in the net neutrality saga, a discussion and vote on privacy rules for the internet. Jim Halpert is a privacy and cybersecurity lawyer. Mr. Halpert, what exactly will the FCC be discussing? What's the issue?
The issue is that for many years, the Federal Trade Commission was the entity responsible for enforcement of privacy on the internet. And by virtue of the net neutrality order, the FCC has changed that because it's classified internet access providers as common carriers, effectively, in order to put forward its net neutrality rules. And that creates a void where the FTC can no longer regulate that aspect, that one aspect, the internet access provider or telecommunications service provider aspect of the business of internet access providers. So there's now a rulemaking coming up where the FCC will decide what to put in place in lieu of or perhaps replicating the FTC's rules but under the new FCC authority.
John Simpson of Consumer Watchdog, do you support the fact that the Federal Communications Commission may do some rulemaking in this
absolutely.
Area?
I mean, they've got to do it under the law. Once they reclassified the ISPs or the broadband internet access providers as common carriers, like the telephone company, that meant that their regulations had to apply, and there is specific privacy regulations that relate to the data that gets gathered over the network by the provider. So they have to do it. Now the question is, most of the rules that existed in the world of telephones. Now that they've extended by reclassification the situation to cover ISPs, they have to come up with rules that are appropriate to the world of the internet, not just the telephones. And that's what this is about.
Jim Halpert, do you support this rulemaking process, A, and what should be in it?
I agree with John that there's confusion right now as to what privacy rules apply. And it makes sense for the FCC to move forward and describe what rules it's going to apply in greater detail. In terms of what should be in that rule, I think that's really the key question in which we'll be discussing today. There is considerable disagreement. One can take the view that the internet ecosystem is one whole entity, that ISPs are a particular player in that, but fundamentally, in the world of internet advertising, for example, ISPs are a very small player in that market right now, and that there ought to be one set of rules. If a consumer has an Apple iPhone, they don't expect a different set of rules to apply to the internet connection that they receive than would apply to the operating system that sees all the traffic going across that phone or any of the apps on the phone. So there's an argument for consistency, and John will present an argument for exceptionalism, I think.
Well, that's not exactly right. But the one of the things to think about here is what kind of regulatory authority does the Federal Trade Commission did it have in the past? And the fact of the matter is about all they could do was under what's known as Section 5 violation, which is an unfair and deceptive practice. And so that basically meant that if a company said they were doing something with your information in their privacy policy and turned around and did something different, then they could be retroactively hit with some kind of a fine or something like that. That happened to Google, $22.5 million. They said they were blocking third-party cookies, but were in fact hacking around them. Cost them $22.5 million. It was retroactive. The FCC affirmatively now, under the fact that the communications law will cover them as communications as common carriers, they have to make rules. I mean, the FTC never had rules. They didn't have any rulemaking authority. It's all been about
Before we go any further here, gentlemen, let's bring Howard Buskirk into the conversation. He's the executive senior editor at Communications Daily.
Jim, I wanted to ask you, first of all, what are the concerns of the ISPs in terms of where the FCC may be headed in this area? What would be your biggest concerns?
Well, and I'm not here representing any particular ISP. I have done a lot of work counseling clients in many different areas, including some ISP clients. But I think the concern is that if one were to apply the current telecommunications privacy rules, which were developed in the context of the Telecom Reform Act of 1996, which was a world of telephony, the rules really do not work very well in a world of the Internet, where you have apps and you have Internet advertising companies, you've got operating systems. All these different players are involved in and collecting a certain amount of information and also involved in delivering services. So the broad concern would from the ISPs would be that they would be discriminated against. On the one hand, they're required under the net neutrality order to carry all traffic that goes across their systems. They're regulated as a sort of common carrier and required to support all these different entities. And then they uniquely would be prohibited from participating in the Internet advertising marketplace, which they currently are very, very small players in. So the idea that they would have to carry the traffic but be unable themselves to obtain any sort of advertising revenue by virtue of information that they obtain by virtue of providing Internet access service strikes many of the ISPs as very unfair, and also really dealing with a tiny part of the Internet ecosystem that is not currently a major player in the world of advertising. So it's really that this would be irrational and discriminatory.
And aren't there some questions about how much data the ISPs actually would have to protect, and how much data in the changing ecosystem, how much they're actually, how much data that they're responsible for?
Well, right? There's a study that just came out by the former privacy czar in the Clinton White House, Peter Swier, with some other colleagues of his at Georgia Tech, which showed that the majority of Internet traffic by the end of this year is going to be encrypted, so that all the content of those communications will not be visible to the ISP. On the other hand, an operating system provider would see that traffic unencrypted, and so actually would have more information than the ISP would. Furthermore, ISPs, we're no longer in a world where people access the Internet only from home via their home ISP. The average consumer uses 6.1 devices to connect to the Internet, bizarrely, and most consumers are using 3 to 5 different Internet access providers to connect to the Internet every day. So the single home ISP, for example, does not have a unique view of a huge amount of user activity. And if you consider that, and think about it, if you take your smartphone, you connect to Wi-Fi, which can 46% of mobile users are doing for their Internet traffic, that information is going through a Wi-Fi provider. If you access the Internet from home, you will typically have a home Internet provider. If you access information on your mobile device when you're not connected to Wi-Fi, your wireless provider will be collecting information. And then your work ISP provider, whoever's providing broadband service at the office, will also potentially collect some information. But this is a much more fragmented universe with much of the data encrypted, so the ISP can't see it anyway.
That particular study has been disputed by a number of people recently. I think it's about 65% of the data right now is unencrypted, and that's talking about, yes, the content of what's going over. But what's just as significant and just as revealing is the information of what site you went to and how long you were there, and sort of tracking the types of sites that you visit, and then having ads targeted on the basis of that sort of information. It is correct that the current rules that apply to common carriers were from the world of telephones, and they aren't adequate and really don't correctly categorize the kinds of information that should come under the FC privacy rules with broadband access providers. And that's what this rulemaking is all about, is trying to figure out, you know, which things are, in fact, what's known as CPNI, which is customer proprietary network information. That's the data that you gather simply by virtue of someone plugging into your network. And the idea is that you ought not to be able to use that data for purposes other than completing the network transaction unless the person gives permission for that to happen. That's the way it works in the telephone world, and it should work the same way in the broadband internet access providing world.
For the average subscriber, why should he care about that information? Are there ways in which the carriers, the ISPs, are monetizing or using this data that's raising concerns?
I think right now you get that data. A profile can be put together about you, and you can then be sort of targeted for kinds of advertising that can end up being discriminatory and taking advantage of you in ways that probably aren't entirely fair. And while it is true that, you know, the internet is more than just the internet access providers, they are in a unique position in terms of you pretty much have to go through one, and it's appropriate because they are unique to recognize that and deal with the data that they gather. And we can talk about other questions around the so-called edge providers, the Googles, the Facebooks, and all that. And I believe there should be some rules put in place there. But that's not the subject of this particular FCC provision at this point.
Jim Halpert.
Well, I think you do need to look at the internet ecosystem as a whole. It is, first of all, for the reasons I described, it's not true that ISPs have a uniquely broad view of user behavior. There's also no indication that I've read of that ISPs are analyzing all the unencrypted traffic that goes through their network and all the places where users are going. But even if that were the case, that is exactly what internet advertising business models do today. And it's not particularly harmful. It's essentially presenting ads that you may be interested in based on where you're going on the internet. And this is how the ad-supported free internet works today. The ISPs are tiny players in the world of internet advertising. There are strong self-regulatory requirements that ISPs and others in this ecosystem have all made to follow privacy opt-out rules in a variety of ways that give consumers notice and control. Those are absolutely enforceable today. There's nothing that would change that. They're binding commitments. And to break off this what's today a tiny piece of the internet advertising ecosystem and subjecting it to rigorous rules that consumers won't understand and ignore the whole rest of the internet ecosystem is not really a rational approach to privacy on the internet. The fact is that given the way that Congress is configured right now and the House of Representatives is likely to remain under a pretty libertarian Republican control for at least 6 years and probably another 10 after that, it's virtually certain that there will be no general privacy legislation that applies to the internet. There would just be this one odd, tiny little piece of the internet ecosystem that would be subject to potentially very confusing rules. What consumers want, I think, and expect is to have choices about how their information is used, to have clear, transparent notice about information practices, and to have an easy way to opt out of practices that they don't want to see being done with their data. But moving to an opt-in privacy rule, which is effectively what John's advocating for, is really quite different. If you think about what happens with your health information, for example, when you go to a doctor, you have to sign a privacy form, every single time you go to a different doctor. And effectively, that's what would be happening with internet access service for information to be used for any purpose other than delivery of service or improving service, I think, under John's proposal. But, John, I'm curious what you and the other privacy groups that put
forward. I think that's what we're essentially suggesting. We think that with the ISPs, that indeed before they can use the information for purposes other than providing the service, that it should be an opt-in sort of situation. And, you know, that's part of the problem right now with the Internet. You talk about all these self-regulatory regimes and so on, and they're based on the so-called notice and choice model, where, you know, they explain it in a privacy policy, and then people say, oh, okay, that's fine. And that doesn't work because of the fact of the matter. Who around this table, when was the last time anyone read a privacy policy? Except maybe you, because you're a lawyer who writes them, and you get paid by the word to write them and make
them. No, I don't get paid by the word.
Sometimes they read that.
I also read them as a consumer.
I was going to say, my standard line is they read like they're written by lawyers who are paid by the word to obfuscate the situation. I mean, privacy policies are not
clear. You recall that we worked together on
it. We did.
And an effort to simplify privacy.
We did. I agree. And it was fun.
Right now we're in the last year of an administration. Mm-hmm. And right now, the FCC is looking at approving just a proposal, right? Mm-hmm. So, what's the likelihood that they're going to be able to get put out the NPRM, the notice of proposed rulemaking, and get back all the comments they need to get back, and then still get a final rule and get that in place by the end of this administration?
I think it will be very interesting to see if they can get that done. I think it's important that they do the notice of public rulemaking as soon as they possibly can, and we expect quite soon. And that, if nothing else, raises all the questions and gets a record going where people can put in their various views and their various concerns. And, you know, if they can come back fast enough with a new rule, that'd be great. But it can also serve as a foundation for what goes on with the next commission and the next administration.
Well, there's also a contingency here, which is that the underlying net neutrality order, which created this particular problem, it may have solved other problems, but it created this regulatory gap, may not be upheld in its entirety. So there's a decent chance that wireless providers will be, in the end, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals is reviewing a challenge to that order, and there is a pretty good chance that wireless providers may be ruled to be outside of the net neutrality order. And if that's the case, then we would see an even more fragmented potential rule and probably a fair amount of confusion that might slow down this rulemaking. So, right, because we're on somewhat uncertain legal ground, with the net neutrality order itself, we can't exclude a surprise coming from the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals and further narrowing the scope of this. All of a sudden, you would see for wireless providers, you would see the FTC get jurisdiction again in midstream, and it's possible that there will be litigation on this underlying regulatory fact that's triggered this rulemaking.
Well, the whole thing could be thrown out.
Right, or the whole thing could be thrown out.
It is being challenged.
So that could interrupt this as well.
John Simpson,
yes.
For folks watching this at home, what does it mean? What does this conversation mean to them? Why is it important?
I think it's important because it does, if it goes through the way many of us in the privacy community would hope that it goes through, I think it will mean consumers will have more choice and control over the data that is gathered about them. And I think that's an important thing in this world. And I think most people want that. If you look at various polls that have been taken, there's great concern in the United States by the average person about their privacy on the Internet.
And I think what this means really is whether consumers are going to be asked to opt in when they sign up for Internet service or in the middle of a service contract, which is something that, like the healthcare privacy release that you sign, I think consumers are going to be readier to sign on to that. I actually think that it's better to have very clear notices to consumers and then ready control where consumers can go and choose to opt out, consciously opt out of different types of services. What John's advocate or use of their data, what John's advocating is a default rule where a consumer needs to, first of all, will be asked and needs to check the release so that their information can be used. I don't think that actually brings the same degree of thought as very clear short notices and ready consumer controls. You've seen Google, Comcast, a number of companies move to providing this sort of consumer control over uses of consumer data. And I think it gets you to much the same place and in some ways to a better place.
I would want to have clear explanations of what it is that they want to do with your data before you opt in to give permission. Mm-hmm. I think it ought to be an opt-in. You think it ought to be an opt-out, I guess.
I think that's probably where we are.
You both talked about being part of a process before on privacy. Would it make sense for everybody, just to get everybody in the room, the consumer advocates and the public interest groups and the ISPs, and have a big discussion about this, and maybe there could be an agreement on rules, and that would obviate the need for the FCC to impose regulations?
I think, actually, that probably would not work, but I'll tell
you. I would agree with you it would not work. I think we proved that.
Well, but I'll give you an example. John and I tried to work, and I devoted a lot of time and effort to a process where a set of short-form notice guidelines should be developed so that consumers could make choices about whether to use a mobile app before downloading it. And what I found in the process was that a number of the privacy advocates, and you were working with them, really didn't want to tackle just that problem and didn't want, I don't think really we're that interested in this effort being a sort of broad consensus agreement, because they had other things that they wanted. So it was a negotiation. On the other side, I found that the business community was concerned about being very prescriptive. In the end, a code was put forward, and Apple, BlackBerry, Google have all moved to do slightly different types of short-form notice. In the end, I think that gets consumers, and to require that before apps can be downloaded, that gets Amazon's done the same thing. That gets consumers to a place of receiving short-form notice, but maybe not in the exact way that was agreed to was on the face of the code, but it got to the same place. On the other hand, I found that the consumer advocates didn't really want to have a compromise because they want opt-in privacy rules in different places, and so they wanted to push for broadly addressing that. It becomes much harder to come up with deals that are very broad questions. It's easier on narrower questions, and this took about a year. But I think that the process that would take to yield an agreement on the whole universe would be feasible, but it would take several years, and I don't think that regulators are going to wait for that, honestly.
I think that the multi-stakeholder process, as they call it, may sound good, but I think that in order to really get something done, I think you need to have a formal rulemaking, and that's what this particular thing that's coming up will be, presumably. And there's a big difference between a bunch of people sitting around a room, all with various vested and competing interests, trying to come up with something and sort of agree. I think a formal rulemaking is a much better way to go.
And I think
our experience showed that.
Well,
frankly,
I don't think that's always true, but I think in this situation, it's what's going to happen. And given the limited amount of time left in this administration, I don't see a sort of mediated effort to come up with this in the short period of time.
Are we going to see a big fight at the FCC on this? It looks like things are breaking down politically, sort of like they did over net neutrality with the Republicans on the commission, very opposed to some of these rules, and the commission majority really wanting to move forward. So do you see this sort of mirroring the net neutrality battle once it gets before the commission?
I think this is a little bit more complicated an issue from a public policy perspective. There's a very strong argument that for the FCC to move forward, doing something different than the FTC has done would be arbitrary. There's a very strong argument also that Internet access providers who now are absolutely required to carry all traffic should not be able to do things that thousands of other players in the Internet ecosystem are doing with regard to advertising for their broadband services, over their broadband services. I think there also are legal questions here that are pretty complicated if indeed the net neutrality rule is struck down as to wireless providers. And all those things may create a more, I think, a more supple political alignment at the FCC. And I'm hopeful we'll work toward finding solutions that really are practical, consistent, and clear to consumers and based largely on the FTC framework. I'm not sure that that's what will happen. But that was the framework that applied previously. The FCC could then enforce it with much stronger penalties. The FCC has been very aggressive in enforcing lately, and I think John likes that. I mean, one, again, can question whether that's arbitrary because other entities are not subject to that. But whatever final set of rules would result would be enforced, I think, vigorously, and there's no question about that in light of the recent enforcement record at the FCC. So there is, I think, a middle way here, and I'm hopeful that the commissioners, when they really think about this and look broadly at the Internet advertising market, which, again, the ISPs are tiny players in, they'll decide that doing something that's closer to the FTC framework makes more sense.
John Simpson, you get the final word today.
Well, I agree that it's a complex issue. I'm not sure that it would play out exactly the same way. We'll get a better sense of that in a few weeks, I think, when the rulemaking is open and we start to see the comments come in. It is a complex issue.
John Simpson, a former journalist, is with Consumer Watchdog, where he is the Privacy Project Director. Jim Helpert is a lawyer with DLA Piper, covers privacy and cybersecurity matters. And Howard Buskirk is Executive Senior Editor of Communications Daily.
C-SPAN, created by America's cable companies 35 years ago.